Welcome to the Upper Room Discourse. I'm Felipe Marin.
And I'm Dakota Childress. Stay tuned for our discussions on scripture, doctrine, music, and anything else.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Upper Room Discourse.
Yeah, this will be our official second episode of this season. We had the filler last week.
Yeah, I was actually going to be like, this is our first official episode. But I mean, I guess, yeah, technically, it's our second.
Yeah. Second official, first official, whatever you want to call it. But this week, we're starting off our talk. Well, I guess our season was talking about controversy, and we'll be going through books of the Bible, and controversial artists. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Before we get into that, though, I do want to talk about last week. I want to make an apology because I was kind of like going back. I was listening through the music because I like Elevation a lot, so I do listen to a lot of their music. But I was listening to their title track, When Wind Meets Fire, and I was like, is this the same song I thought it was when I was talking about it? It was not. So the title track, When Wind Meets Fire, I actually really like that song, and I think it's one of the better songs off the album. All of the issues that I said I had with that song was actually with, what was it? It's the first song.
I can't even... I can't even think of it now either.
See, High School Musical is like all in my mind, so I'm thinking Start of Something New is the song, but it's not Start of Something New, but it's something similar to that.
I don't even
know. New Thing Coming.
Yeah.
That's the name of the song. That's the one that I have an issue with because it feels like it's super arrogant in just the way it's written. And we don't have to talk about it there. I just wanted to formally apologize and be like, we talked about the wrong song, basically. Yeah.
There are quite a few good songs on there. I'd say, you know, I think tracks 2 through 7 or something. Mm-hmm. We went back and looked at them. And then the rest of them were kind of just like,
Yeah, but, the same things we talked about.
Yeah. But we're talking about a new artist today. Well, new as in for this season, for this episode.
Oh, yeah. He's not a new artist. He's been around for a while.
He's been around for at least 15, maybe even 20 years. Who we got?
Kanye West.
Kanye West. And this one is kind of, in my opinion, kind of a heartbreaking one to talk about. We're going to be talking about the album Jesus is King.
Yeah. And I guess if we want to set the stage, you know, the year is 2019.
Which was a good year.
It was a really great year.
And the thing that really irks me about this album is it's almost, he did it with a church choir.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what irks me. But it's everything that came out about him and everything that he said and did, in the past 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. Now, after this album has come out,
5 years,
5 years. Well, I mean, 2020 is, it came out in 2019, but you know, a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about as far as like the anti-Semitic comments,
that is true.
The second album he put out, which nothing like the first one, Jesus is King. And then, you know, the music he's going back to now and his lifestyle. It's pretty heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Because Kanye, when I heard this album for the first time, it was like, okay, Kanye. All right. I wanted to be excited for him. And I wanted, you know, even if he was starting out shallow in his faith, which I would say I'd be hard pressed to say that, you know, he's in the faith now. But when he was starting out, when this album came out, I wanted to be hardcore, like, yeah, let's pray for this guy. Let's, you know, make sure that we're doing everything we can to disciple him and whatever. And that just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw more of the culture and society and even Christians just really attacking him and belittling him and being condescending because he is a secular rapper and because of his past lifestyle and who he is and what he's done. And man, it was just like, and seeing that, seeing all those comments, it was just like, dang, can we not take a second to, you know, maybe pray for this dude? Mm. Maybe, you know, take somebody, take him, a church, take him and be like, okay, we see that you're moving towards this Christianity. You may not be saved right yet, but, you know, let's dig deeper into this. Let's help you find what salvation means and, you know, see you become saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of my irkings with this whole album. But it, and we'll get into a little bit more about it in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of controversy for sure surrounding this. I remember back when his album first came out and the amount of controversy around it, you know, and the people that were like, no, there's no way he's a Christian, right, and all of that. And I think we need to, again, as you were saying, we need to remember, you know, we should be praying for people like this. You know, if, and I mean, I guess we're all doing controversy and dangerous thinking, but I mean, if we follow that line of thinking, you know, one of the biggest reasons why he says he's not a Christian anymore is because of his rejection. You know, that's one of the reasons given, was because nobody, you know, cared for him and he was facing all this hardship and persecution, right, and he left.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying like any of that is right, but that's one of the reasons given, you know, and that shouldn't ever be a reason why somebody doesn't go with the faith or doesn't believe. You know, it shouldn't be because everybody else rejected them. You know, Christians should be welcoming them with open arms.
Yeah. And that's what really sucks about what happened. And it's just like I said, that's what I saw a lot of, this attacking him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling Felipe before we started recording that in the music and in the lyrics, it really reminded me of, because I was just finishing up community college, going into Southeastern at the time. And I think I was already at Southeastern. And one of the books I had to read was The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. And if you know anything about C.S. Lewis, one of the things surrounding him is when he was writing The Great Divorce and Narnia, the whole hot topic about him was whether he was saved, like fully saved, during that time or not, or if he was still, you know, coming to that point where he was going to be saved. And that's what I saw a lot of in Kanye when this album came out, mm-hmm, was, even if it was shallow, I think there was a lot of strong things about what he was putting into the lyrics and into the music. He was doing it with a choir. And he was just pretty raw, not in a sinful way, but he was just raw about his life and about where he was wanting to be and about, you know, wanting to follow Christ and about wanting to make Christ his one desire. And then to see that all blown up, to see that all rejected and come to what it came to, it's just really sad.
No, I agree 100%. And I mean, obviously, you know, I wouldn't consider him a Christian at all.
Mm-mm.
You know, just in light of things he said, and again, as you're saying, his lifestyle, you know, you can just look at the latest album that he released recently and you can definitely see the world in there. You know, I mean, we can start off with, you know, language.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, it existed before then. You know, but when Jesus is King album came out, you know, no profanity, yeah, at all. And even his next album, you know, Donda, you know, as far as I know, no profanity. I mean, there's some like almost saids where it's like bleeped out, but then there's no like profanity in there. But you jump to his latest album, it's like song one, like almost like the first word, it's already there.
Yeah. And what it takes me back to, is we've been going through Mark,
mm-hmm,
here at Oakview, and we just got through with the parable of the four soils.
Yes.
And with that, we get, I think I also talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can't remember, but we've got the good soil. We've got the rocky soil. We've got the soil with vines, and we've got the pathway. And, you know, it's not our job to determine what kind of soil a person is, right? That's between God and the person. But I do see a lot of him digging into, or him digging into, I see a lot of the gospel digging into him and then it being choked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only reiterate it so much, but it's not because of the world. it's not because of non-Christians, but because of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we see it come to, you know, full circle, and he's back into this whole secular artist. He's back into cursing. He's back into his old way of life. And that's what happens when, you know, the gospel is seeded into a person's life and it's just choked up and it takes no root. And so, I mean, I would see him as one of those two, either the thorny or the rocky soil,
mm-hmm.
but that's not my judgment call to make.
No, absolutely not. But I think we can definitely, at least looking back, you know, I think mm-hmm. we can really see that strongly. You know, somebody that came up, you know, like the rocky soil, you know, sprung up quick, looked like they were going to do good and then just withered away. You know, and in the same way, choked out by, you know, the issues of the world. I don't know if I wrote it down. I did not write it down. Did I? Nope. It's okay. Not sure. It's not that big a deal. It's in my brain. What I was going to say is that, you know, what he attributes to him walking away from the faith was that he prayed for a lot of things and they didn't right. happen.
Mm.
And I figured I wanted to kind of open up that conversation because I think that's a very important conversation to have, but this conversation of unanswered prayer,
right. you
know, but, that's one of the big things that he attributes it to. It's like, you know, God let me down. You know, I was going through a lot. A lot of things were happening and I was praying and he didn't show up. You know, that's basically, you know, at least when I read through the interview, that's what it seemed like.
Right. And we have to be, as believers, we have to be really careful about, what we say when it comes to prayer,
mm-hmm.
because God does hear all prayers, but does he listen to all prayers from all people and respond to them? No. You know, the case is different between a non-Christian and a Christian, a follower of Christ and someone who isn't following Christ, right? God is going to hear a prayer from a child of his, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And they understand that God is not always going to be quick to say yes or no. Sometimes there is going to be a period of silence in a prayer that comes from a child of his. And with a non-Christian, a non-believer, someone who is not in the faith, that's going to be a lot different,
mm-hmm.
right? You can cry out to God and you can ask God for help. And he might hear that a time or two, and he might answer that a time or two. But what he's doing in that is he is looking for you to find salvation in him.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's ultimately wanting you to do as a non-Christian, as a non-believer, is find salvation in him because he does answer those prayers. And prayers aren't always going to be the way we want them to be answered. They're not always going to be the answer we want. And so I think that is, you know, one of the hard things, even as a Christian, to come to grips with. That's a hard pill to swallow, that God is going to answer your prayers the way he wants to answer them, not the way you want them to be answered, but how he wants them to be answered and how he's going to answer them.
Yeah. And I think that comes back to, again, this discussion of discipleship, you know, because if you have good discipleship, you're not going to have that problem. You know, if you're taught, you know, what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches, and you learn, you know, theology, who God is and all of that, I mean, you're going to understand that he is all knowing, he is all powerful. And yeah, he hears your prayers and he answers them, but he answers them in his own way, you know, and sometimes the answer to that prayer is no.
Right.
And in fact, I feel like more often than not, the answer to that prayer is no. And we need to keep in mind, you know, James chapter 4, you know, you ask, yet you do not receive. And why is it? Because you ask with selfish motives,
right?
You know, you're asking for yourself and what you want out of your own desire, you know, and really what you want to get to when it comes to prayer is you want your desire to match with God's desire. You know, when your desire matches with God's desire, everything that you pray for, it will come to pass. You know, like, I don't want to like get, like, I don't want to take this out of context to the same, like, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Controversial verse.
Yeah. You know, we don't, I mean, we understand we don't take things to an extreme like that, you know, but I think scripture is pretty clear, you know, that if we ask and if it's within God's will, it will happen.
Yeah. And that's the one thing that is so important about prayer is that when we pray, what we are supposed to do is allow the Spirit to move through our prayer, is to allow the Spirit to influence our words and thoughts that come through the prayer, right? Because if we start praying, like, it's the first thing, at least this is how I pray when I'm at home alone. Sometimes I just want to, you know, hop right into it and get into the nitty gritty of whatever is on my mind. But I'm taken back to the prayer, the model prayer, the disciples' prayer. And what do we do first? We glorify God first. And then once we do that, we offer up our sin. We confess our sin to Him. And then from there, you can begin to pray. Once that's out of the way, you can begin to pray for whatever else. But I think those two things need to be done first, is a honoring of God and a recognition of who He is, right? And then because of a recognition of who He is, you know, we see our sin and we confess that sin before Him. And then once that's out of the way, you know, it's not that we pray and ask God to forgive us. We know we're forgiven. We're confessing our sin to Him despite already being forgiven, right? So we don't pray for forgiveness. But after that's done, we know we're forgiven. And then we can go on praying for whatever else. And we pray rightly. We pray God's desire. And like the last words say, your will be done. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I think we should definitely remember that. I mean, the Lord's Prayer, Lord's Prayer is probably not the best way, like not the best title, but that's how we know it as, you know, but that's our example. You know, look at the Lord's Prayer and that'll show you how to pray. You know, not saying that that's how you're supposed to pray word for word.
Right.
You know, but I think the principles that you find within that prayer is something that you should implement into all of your prayers. You know, I mean, maybe not all of your prayers, you know, prayers.
Yeah.
There's different kinds of prayers.
There are.
Not every prayer is going to be the exact same, you know, which this isn't a podcast on prayer, but no. Maybe we should have an episode one day where we talk. I mean, I guess we could talk about that later. We have this one song that's about prayer.
Oh yeah. We will talk about prayer more in that.
So maybe that's where we'll save. We'll like kind of set
this conversation and then save it for,
set it aside and then we'll look at it then in a couple of weeks. But I think it'd be a really cool, fruitful discussion again.
Yeah. But it just goes back to, you know, what you were saying about Kanye. And what's so interesting is that throughout the song, throughout the album, you see this, I can't think of the word, but intention, I guess, desire, I guess, not really the word I'm looking for still, but to rely on God, to cry out to God. And you see this acceptance of, you know, I am a sinner who needs Christ.
Yes.
And you begin to see that take form, and that is his crying out. And honestly, you know, it goes back to it. It almost kind of reads like a prayer. The whole album does.
I agree.
And, you know, it's just like him throwing out his life, him throwing out who he used to be and how he wants to change, how he wants to live for God. And, you know, you see him do that for a while and then he doesn't. And so that kind of brings up, you know, the main question we have, or at least I have for, you know, this episode is, do we listen to this album, you know, Jesus is King, knowing that Kanye is more than likely not a Christian, that this work is attributed to somebody who is not Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that kind of opens up this arc, so obviously this is going to be a whole season long, 12 episodes that we've kind of like bookended, you know, started together. This is the first part of that. You know, the title you'll see for today is Jesus is King. Mm-hmm. Again, the same title as the album here. You know, but yeah, as we started this kind of idea of controversy and all of that, you know, that's where our first question lies. You know, should you listen to an artist that said they were Christian and put out music and now they say they are no longer a Christian? You know, that's what we're going to continue this discussion again next week as we look at another artist. But I think it's a very important question that we should ask, you know, and it comes back to like the separation of artist and music. You know, because sometimes that's something that we're encouraged to do, mm-hmm. you know, separate the artist from the music. You know, if the music is great and you like listening to the music, don't worry who the artist is. Don't worry what they do with their life, you know, but I think it's very important. And I'm going to be honest. I think in this case, I would say it's probably best not to listen to this album. And I only say that is because it's not very theologically deep. You know, I think there's some very solid stuff and I think there's some very like scriptural stuff. I mean, he does literally quote scripture in some of the album. But I think when it comes to like theology and doctrine, I think this album is very weak, and I think it only gets weaker as you listen to his other Christian music outside of this album.
Yeah, and that's a good point to bring up. And we're not sitting here trying to fault Kanye for not being theologically deep.
Yeah, I mean, it's not his fault. I feel like he wasn't discipled like at all.
Yeah, and that's only going to come out, you know, because he's young. Well, I mean, physically speaking, he's pretty old. He's like in his 40s, I think. But at the time, you know, you would have thought, okay, he's young in his faith. He's just starting out. And so that's perfectly okay. And another thing, you know, is he never, while yes, the church didn't actively seek him out, any church, seek him out and say, hey, come on over to our church. Let us disciple you and teach you about doctrine and theology. There was no intent on his part either, from what I could tell, in seeking out a church to disciple him, right? Now, there's definitely a mandate, right, for the church to go out into the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get that in Matthew 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And so we're supposed to do that. We're not supposed to live within the walls 24/7. We have to go out. And part of that going out is meeting people like Kanye as a church and saying, okay, let's continue to water the gospel. Let's continue to see the gospel grow in you and continue to see this faith grow in you. And that didn't happen on either side. And that's a big complaint on my part. Because if you're saying that you want to be, I guess want to be Christian isn't the right way to put it, but if you're saying that you're now Christian, but you're not seeking out that discipleship, then you're kind of setting yourself up in a sense to fail anyway, because you have no way of growing. And it's just going to be like we've been talking about with the, you know, the soil, it's just going to be choked right out, you know, because you have nobody to help you reaffirm that in you. You have nobody to help you grow that. You have nobody to help you understand the doctrine of salvation more. You have nobody to help teach you more about what faith actually looks like and what repentance actually looks like. And my only thing now is, you know, we continue to pray, not only for him, but for other people, you know, who are in Hollywood and who are big name stars, because another one that comes to mind is Justin Bieber. And it's whole, I'm hesitant to say Christian. I think it's more of a cultural Christianity thing, secular Christianity thing, which doesn't even make sense when you put those two words together. But it's this idea that Christianity is popular so that I can gain something. And we can only pray for people like that, and we can only hope that through our prayers and through the activity of the church rightly, that they do become Christian, and they are truly Christian, and they stick with it, and that they're always with it, and that they really do come to true repentance.
No, I agree 100%. And I mean, I pulled up some lyrics, and I'm just kind of looking through some of the songs. I mean, again, it's some of the stuff is solid. You know, right. God is king, we the soldiers.
Right.
I mean, that's a totally fair line. But then you jump down to won't be in bondage to any man. John 8:33, we the descendants of Abraham, ye should be made free. You know, that's out of context right there. You know, that's not entirely what that verse is saying, you know, from where he pulls it out. And then, I mean, obviously the next part, it is a full, you know, actual quotation, you know, John 8:36, to whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, and I think there's a lot of truth in stuff like that. But, I mean, it's just like, here's another line. If you woke, then wake up. I like that line. Right. It's a good line. But then the next line, with Judas, kiss and make up. And I'm like, that's not what the Judas's kiss was. Yeah. It was a betrayer.
It was a betrayal.
Kiss. You know, it's not a kiss and make up. Like it really is just like wordplay that sounds good and sounds Christian. But like you start like digging in, like get a little pickaxe and start like chipping. And then you're like, if you look at these in isolation, I don't know how good these lyrics are. You know, I feel like there's out of context scripture, stuff like that, you know, but I think my favorite song is obviously, which I guess is the meme song. Everybody makes fun of it, but Closed on Sunday. I think that's the best song off that album. I think that's the deepest song off that album. And I think it's very solid, you know, and I love, I love the ending of this opening where he says, no more living for the culture. We nobody slave. Yeah. And I'm like, that's something that the church needs to hear. That's something that this world needs to hear. But specifically the church, stop living for the culture.
Man, read some more lyrics from that song.
Yeah, this song?
I was just listening to it the other day. Yeah, Closed on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because I was just listening to it the other day. And to give you an idea, like, most albums are probably 45, 50 minutes.
This one is very
short.
Maybe
an hour. This is only 30 minutes, and I think it's 10, maybe 12 songs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it kind of makes sense. They're about 2.5, 3 minutes each. But, yeah, just read some more lyrics from that if you don't mind.
Yeah. I mean, if we jump to the next part, which is kind of like a chorus, I don't know how to, like, break this song apart. I don't know anything about, like, this genre of music. It's not my kind of genre.
It's like rap, hip-hop, gospel.
Yeah.
Kind of all, like, mixed into one.
Yeah, it's kind of like all mixed together, so I don't know how to parse it. Stand up for my home. Even if I take this walk alone, I bow down to the king upon the throne. My life is his. I'm no longer my own. You know, like, those are good. That's why I like this song. This might be my favorite song and the only one that I would listen to off this album now.
Yeah. And it's too bad I can't remember any of the other ones. I think the title, one of the tracks is Jesus is King, right?
Yes.
Off this album.
Yes.
I think that's the title track.
That song I do like. That's the final song. And I think there's some good things on that one as well, for sure.
Yeah. It's just, man.
But I mean, it's just, I feel like it's, I think it's just a miss. Like, I'm looking at some of the stuff and I'm like, I think we're like there, but we're like slightly off.
Yeah.
Like for this one, told the devil that I'm going on a strike, told the devil when I see him on site. I'm like, that's not how it's going to go. Like, no. Do you know who the devil is?
Right.
You know, if you see the devil, you better run.
It's running.
You know, like, and I mean, yes, you're.
There are times we fight.
There are times we fight, but we're not the ones fighting.
Right.
You know, we don't fight the devil. It's God.
Yeah.
And it reminds me, I was reading through, I've been in Jude recently, you know, but in the book of Jude, it talks about how Michael, the archangel, how he was contending with Satan, you know.
For the bones of Moses.
Yeah. But Michael wasn't the one like rebuking him. He said, God rebuke. He's like, the Lord rebuke you. You know, he wasn't saying, I rebuke you.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we miss. And it's funny. It's similar to that Caswell song I was telling you the other day.
Your favorite Caswell song?
Yeah. Like the one that I think it's like, it's fine. It's just kind of stupid. I mean, musically, it's really cool. They go, hey, and it's like super like cool and weird, but they're like, devil, get out of my way. God's going to get my praise. And I'm like, excuse me? Like,
God's always going to get the praise.
Well, yeah, but how can you be so like foolish and arrogant?
Like, I don't know.
Look, don't incite the devil. All right. He's the devil for a reason.
He is.
And he's powerful. Like, he's not God, obviously. And he's not as powerful, nowhere near as powerful as God. But he sure is more powerful than I am. I can tell you that for a fact.
And I will say this. Kanye is not the only person to have that kind of theology. Because I've been reading through Pilgrim's Progress.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a specific part in Pilgrim's Progress. And if you have the same copy of the book I have, then the scene is portrayed on the front of it where Christian and Beelzebub are doing battle. Beelzebul. Whichever one you want to say.
The Lord of the House or the Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. I mean, technically, they're both proper fitting names for Satan anyway. But, you know, him and Satan are doing battle. And he's come out of the house. He's got his armor. He's come out of the house. He's walking back down all the way. He's got his sword. And, you know, Christian and Satan are doing battle. And it's literally hand-to-hand combat. You have to remember when this book is written, 1600s, right? They still have swords. I mean, they do have guns, but they still have swords, so they know what hand-to-hand combat looks like, and they know how deadly that can be. The one thing I want to make sure we get right is that, you know, we have the sword of the Spirit, right? It's not the sword of Dakota. It's not the sword of Felipe. You know, it's not the sword of, you know, your pastor or wherever you go to church. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord, the word of God, right? So it's not ours anyway. And what I'm getting back to, you know, with Kanye and Pilgrim's Progress is Pilgrim, he says that was the hardest battle of his life. Even with having the full armor of God on, even with having the sword of the Spirit, the testimony, like, you know, there's really no chapters in this book. It's just one continuation. But pages later is that he almost died. And now this is a dream, and it's more like a allegory or a story or a metaphor for the Christian life. But that's true. Battles with Satan, if we try to take them head on, are life-threatening.
No, absolutely. I mean, Satan is described as a lion. You know, he's prowling, he's on the move, and he's seeking who to devour. You know, last I checked, I'm not going near a lion that's looking to devour something. you know, and I'm not saying like that you should be like trembling, afraid, right, you know, like hiding and be like, get away from me. But like, you don't go out there and like throw a rock at that lion, mm-hmm, you know, cause now you got that lion's attention and that lion's coming after you and he's going to try and devour you. You know, we need to remember again, as you're saying, sword of the spirit, our weapons are not of this world. Our weapons are spiritual in nature, you know, and those are the weapons we should use, primarily this word right here. You know, what did Jesus do when Satan confronted him in the wilderness?
He used God's word.
He quoted scripture. He went straight to the sword that is the word of God, you know, and that's where we should go. You know, if we see Jesus and he's our example for what to do when we confront Satan, when Satan confronts us. Again, I don't rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you.
Right.
You know, we're not the ones with the power. God is the one with the power and it's his strength going through us. And we need to remember that and not forget.
Yeah. And I've been going through the book of Joshua and I'm about on chapter 3 now, but there's a great reminder. After Moses has died, it's right in the beginning of the book. You get 8 verses in and this is God talking to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, just as Jesus did. Right? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Mm. And we have to remember that God goes with us everywhere, just as that verse says, and that we don't fight our battles alone.
No.
We rely on the strength of God. And you know, you brought up Philippians 4:13 earlier. You know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And while that is true, we have to remember whose strength that is. It's God's. And the one thing, you know, I do see lacking as far as Kanye goes was that strength to stand against the devil.
I agree 100%.
And that strength to, you know, stand against the falsehoods and to rise above it and to stay firm in what he was already looking at and seeing to be true.
Yeah. And I mean, again, I guess we come full circle. We come back to the part, you know, the church needs to wake up, you know, as a whole, you know, the church needs to be ready to welcome those people and to disciple them, to teach them. I mean, that's what the Great Commission is. You know, the Great Commission is not just to go and tell, you know, it's to go tell, but also to teach them and to disciple them. You know, so that they also may come to obedience, that they also may come to holiness, you know, as we are called to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's a good transition into the book we also have to talk about today. Because, you know, we've been doing this series, this is the third season now, and we've taken a book and we've coupled it with an artist or a song. And this season is not going to be any different. And the book we're looking at, you know, I brought up Joshua. And it's that same time period. We're looking at the book of Judges. And it's a good judgment, you know, what happened to Kanye on Christianity as a whole, right? You know, you let somebody go who could have been very influential and who could have been very serious about the faith, and you decided to disregard them. You decided to criticize them instead of loving them, instead of helping them to affirm their faith, instead of helping them to grow. And so it's a good judgment. And, you know, we're at that point where the church is, you know, I think we're in a period of judgment, you know, as a whole, right? You know, not like specifically this church or that church, but the global church as a whole, I think is in a period of judgment. And in some parts it's more obvious, right? You know, we see that it needs to wake up, like here in America. You know, we really have to wake up when it comes to the church. We really have to start growing spiritually. And God's judgment is that, you know, if you want to be like the world, you know, just as what happened to the people in that time, you know, what did they do? They sat there, they got into the land of Canaan, right? Mm-hmm. Just a basic breakdown of Judges. They get into the land of Canaan, and what do? Nothing with the people. They let them live on the land. Most of the tribes let them live on the land. And so what ends up happening? They become idol worshipers, the Israelites do. They become just like those people around them. And God's like, okay, if that's what you want to do, you're going to do it, and I'm going to let you do it. But you're going to have people over you who are going to judge you. And literally these judges, if you look up the word, and it's kind of funny and ironic a bit, but they're literally people of controversy. Because what they're doing is they're set to be against the society.
Mm-hmm.
And they are set to judge what the Israelites were doing. And they're calling out the sin. And that may be by defeating 1,000 Philistines. You know, that may be by cleansing out, you know, the people who aren't Israelites from the land. That may be, you know, prophesying against these people, you know, killing kings and rulers, you know, staking somebody's head to the ground,
mm-hmm.
right? They're all forms of judgment that God brings upon Israel because of their sin. And like I said, these were people of controversy, and we have to be people of controversy,
mm-hmm.
right? We're Christians. We're believers. We go against the grain. We're supposed to. We have to. We go against society. That is our calling. Yes, we're called to love, right? But we're also called to wage war against the evils of this world. And we don't do it in our strength, as we've already talked about. We do it in God's strength. And we do it rightly. But we do it in love. But we still have to make that war. We have to cause that disruption. We have to cause that controversy.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of controversy on the book of Judges, just right. in general.
There is.
You know, but I think there's a lot of good lessons to learn. You know, what we see it so often, as you're saying, you know, Israel comes and they turn away. You know, they didn't do what God said originally. And now all these people, they're teaching them, they're worshiping these idols and all that. So they turn away, and then something bad happens. And what do? They go back to God. You know, we just see that cycle over and over again, and they never learn, you know, and I think that's what we can learn from them is there's a lot of weird words going through there. What there is to learn is that we need to learn how to learn. I know they're like, yeah. I'm trying to word it the best way I can, but do we know how to learn from our past mistakes
right.
and to grow from them? You know, because I'm going to be honest, I don't think Kanye learned, you know, I think he made mistakes. You know, everybody's going to make mistakes. Everyone's going to stumble and fail
yeah.
and fall. You know, he made those mistakes, but he didn't know how to learn from them.
Right.
And I mean, a lot of that's going to come from the Spirit. You know, we have to remember God works in our hearts. You know, God works in us, prepares in us a way to walk. And we have to trust in that. But trying to think where my mind was going with that. I've had no sleep. My brain is like frazzled.
We learn from our past mistakes and yeah. we trust in God's process to.
Yeah, we trust in God's process to make it, you know, through that, to learn from those mistakes. And now we continue straight. You know, maybe we were crooked before, but now we're straighter.
Right.
You know, because we messed up and now we've learned from that. Right. You know, and we see that in Judges over and over and over again. You know, and I think we need these people, as you're saying, we need these people of controversy. You know, we need to be those people of controversy. We need to have those people there, you know, being controversial against the culture. You know, and again, it's the line out of the song. No more living for the culture. We nobody's slave. You know, you were a slave to the world. You were a slave to Satan.
Sin.
To sin. You know, as a Christian, you're set free from that. You're no longer a slave to this world, to this culture, to Satan. No, you are a slave of God. You know, and that's a great place to be, you know, because in the kingdom of God, the least of them is the greatest. And what's more least than a slave?
Nothing.
Exactly.
And it brings up the whole thing about, you know, looking at Judges and looking at Kanye. It brings to my mind another issue we see in the New Testament, right? So we've connected Israel and them not cleansing out the land to take it, make it holy. And so they allow these people to stay. They allow these people to come in, false idols to come in. All right. Now the danger, you know, coming into the New Testament is that, and I understand this to a degree, and this is where I think the church really ran with their whole condescending attitude towards Kanye was the whole, all right, we can't allow false prophets, false witnesses, false teachers into our midst. And so I don't think that the church as a whole was convinced. And it's not our job to be convinced. You know, we don't have to be convinced of anything until, like, okay, so that kind of sounds a bit controversial. But it is not our duty to know for sure, you know, where a person stands with God. That's not our job to test the heart, I guess is what I'm trying to get at.
Mm-hmm.
God knows the heart. is what I'm saying, right? To be scriptural. Now, it is our job to test the spirits, to test the spirit by which a person comes. And what I think happened is that a lot of the church saw that, okay, we don't want a false witness. Like I was saying earlier, to come in, and but they never rightly tested that spirit to see where Kanye was coming from.
And I think that's huge. You know, I mean, yes, we're told over and over and over again in the New Testament, watch out for false prophets, watch out for false teachers, because we know they're coming. But do you know how you can tell somebody is a false teacher? They have to teach.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't teach, then how can you be a false teacher?
Exactly.
Like, it's like you're going against the definition of the word. To be a teacher, you have to be teaching, you know, and that's where we need to be careful. You know, it's, there's nothing wrong with letting somebody come into a congregation and join a service and being discipled, you know, even if maybe, you know, they're not, maybe they are a false prophet that's come in, but where that judgment comes is when they start doing something,
right?
You know them by their fruit. You know, we see that in scripture also, you know, somebody by their fruit, by their actions is how you know who they are. You know, and I think there's definitely shame on the church for that. Shame on anybody that was critical of him saying he's a false teacher without even having heard anything. You know, I think that's jumping the gun almost.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that did happen. Yeah. I can be about 85% sure that there probably were some places out there that were saying that. I don't know, but I did hear a lot of the church bashing him and all of that. But yeah, we've been talking a lot about Kanye and Judges. I mean, the last thing I only really have about Judges is when it comes to controversy.
Should it be in the Bible?
Yeah, should it be in the Bible? Just like, should we listen to Kanye's music? I think that that's a definitive. We're talking about this album specifically, Jesus King. Should we listen to this album? No. I really don't think you should. And because it creates a false perception of Christianity in a sense, and it can easily lead somebody astray, being like, oh, okay, Kanye called himself a Christian, but now look what he's doing. So I would say, you know, just stay away from that album. It's got some good things in there. I would say stay away from it. But as for like Judges, you know, kind of connecting that back, I think, should it be in the Bible? Yeah, definitely. But I think a lot of the controversy comes around, you know, the time period. You know, people not knowing exactly when this was written, not knowing exactly if.
And also, like, some of the things that happened in that book, you're like, did this actually happen? Like, that's pretty intense and pretty insane.
Yeah. And that's another one of the things. Some of the people mentioned during this time, now we have specific genealogies like David's. So, you know, Ruth, her genealogy isn't mentioned in. Well, David's genealogy isn't mentioned in Judges, but it's mentioned in Ruth, which happens during that same time. But that's another point of controversy. If these people actually existed and there's not a lot of evidence, extra biblical evidence for that. And so people have a hard time believing it. And so, yeah, that's kind of about it on Judges. Not much there,
but yeah,
it should be in the Bible. If you're looking for historicity and accuracy, then I'd say, you know, if you're a Christian and you don't question, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, and there is extra biblical evidence, you can go to the region where those cities were and you can find balls of sulfur just lying there in the dirt. You can go and find the rock that Moses smote and water flowed out. There's evidence of a huge boulder just being there, and there's water erosion from the middle of it. You know, and I think those are some of the things that when it comes to like Judges, you know, historians and secular historians, people who want to discredit the Bible, they'll look at those things and dismiss them and then use them to question if the Bible is even accurate, how these things even happen, and if it's historically correct. But I mean, we just got to remember, if those things actually did happen and there's evidence for them, then the book of Judges, why should we question that either? You know,
I know. And I'm going to be honest, like, why would you go for the book of Judges? Yeah. There's some crazy wild stuff that happens in the book of Judges, but I'm going to be honest. I think there's some crazy wild stuff that happens in other parts of the Bible.
Yeah.
Like probably way crazier. Like there's no talking donkey in the book of Judges.
No, not at all. I mean, but I did mention it already. You do get, a woman
Yes.
Staking a dude's head to the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, which is pretty wild. I mean, just think about that, right through the head.
That's pretty intense.
You get Samson and he takes an ox goad and just, yeah, or just donkey jaw, one of the two, and
yeah,
he just
starts killing people. Yeah.
You know, Shamgar, there's only one verse about that dude. If you go to SLU, that's like
they like go really hard on Shamgar.
So. Yeah, they do.
But Shamgar's cool. Yeah. You know, he saved Israel. Like that's like nothing else had to be said. Like it was I promise you, that verse was just like a mic drop.
Right.
Like he was like, Shamgar, he killed a lot of people and he saved Israel.
Yeah.
Mic drop. And you're like, whoa, that's sick.
Yeah. And one of the more interesting things, one of the more interesting stories I think connect a lot to Kanye, I think would be Gideon.
Yeah. I kind of see that.
And because God tells Gideon to go and fight. And then he takes that wool and he's like, I can't really remember the story, but he's like, basically like if the ground is wet and this is dry, or if this is wet and the ground is dry, then, you know, I'll know I'm called. And I feel like that's the same way that we oftentimes, even as Christians,
that's how we approach it.
We approach it and we question God, you know, hey, give us a sign that you're still with us. And, you know, I think that's where Kanye failed, and that's part of the trust aspect. You know, I don't think it's necessarily wrong sometimes to ask God for a sign, but to question is something entirely different. And, you know, I think that's what ended up happening with Kanye. He questioned, and that question, you know, opened up the door for Satan to come in and allow him to doubt. And his doubting took him right back to square one, or really square zero, because, you know, he would say he's not Christian now.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to be like, you know, hard, you know, questioning is not a bad thing. Questioning is a good thing.
Right.
But questioning can be a very bad thing, and questioning can very quickly lead you to sin. You know, we're going to talk about this book later this season, but the book of Job,
you know,
it gets to a point where they start questioning, you know, and then God just comes on the scene and he's like, where were you when I did all of this? Do you know how this works? Do you understand?
Right.
You know, and then Job is like, all right, I've spoken correctly. You know, he rightly repents. But I think that's that mentality that we should remember. Yes, we should question. We should doubt. It's a good thing because, and I'll say this, you know, probably till my dying day, but doubt is a good thing because doubt will always lead to deeper faith if treated correctly.
Yeah.
You know, if you take that doubt and you process it right, it's going to lead you to have a deeper assurance and a deeper faith because you doubted and now you've been assured.
Right.
You know, and I think there's beauty in that and we can't forget that. So yes, you should doubt. Yes, you should question, but it's what you do with it. And I think in the case of Kanye, what we've seen is his doubt turned into apostasy.
Yeah. And doubt, like you said, it does take you deeper if you're a Christian, or at least it should. And it should take you to scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It should take you to the promises of God that he's already given you, right? If you're a true believer, then you can't be taken from his hands. You've got eternal life. You have eternal favor with him, right? Yeah, we sin, and yeah, God despises sin, and there's no excuse for sinning ever, right? We're called to be holy. We're called to be righteous in the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ, right? And so we live separately. We don't be like Israel, who allowed all these other people to influence us, you know, and we don't go back to our old ways. We have to move on from the things of our old life. And sometimes those things grip us. And sometimes those old sins, they do cause us doubt. It's like, man, am I really saved? I'm still struggling with this. Am I really saved? You know, sometimes these desires come over me. Am I actually saved? And we have to go to scripture. And scripture is going to be like, hey, if you without a shadow of a doubt know that Christ is your savior, then you're saved. If you know without a shadow of a doubt that you cannot work for your salvation, there's nothing you can do, and you rely on God and you trust in him, then you're saved. You know, there's a lot more to it, you know, the salvation, but, you know, that doubt feeds into reading scripture, and it feeds into getting into the word and into prayer and, you know, testing yourself, because we're supposed to always be testing ourselves and other people.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think definitely first and foremost, you know, doubt should lead you to scripture, should lead you to prayer, you know, going to God. It came back up. My laptop just closed out. Even after I set the display not to turn off, it did, which is funny. But where I was going is, yeah, you know, scripture should be that first place you go to, prayer, you know, but don't be afraid to go to somebody.
Right.
You know, that's the beauty of the church, and that's the beauty of community, is when you doubt, you can go to somebody and they can talk to you and they can help you process it and get through it and come to the other side with that deeper faith, with that stronger faith, you know, when processed correctly. I think a beautiful song that I remember is 10th Avenue North off of their No Shame album, but he's got a song titled Somebody to Talk To, you know, and he's like, can I say that I'm lonely? Can I say that I'm scared?
Right.
You know, he's like, if I tell you all of my stuff, I tell you all of this, can I even still stay here? You know, and I think a lot of Christians inwardly have that fear that they were like, if they knew what I did,
right,
would they even accept me? You know, and the answer should be yes, of course. You know, the church is going to accept you. You know, how many times once your brother sinned and I still forgive him? You know, not just seven times, but 70 times, seven times, you know, an innumerable amount of times, you know, there's forgiveness, you know, and there's assurance, and we should be, you know, willing to give that to people and be there. You know, so I think that's just anyone that's listening. You know, I think that's something that Kanye probably needed to hear.
Yeah. And just a couple of things, you know, to carry on with what you were talking about. One of the verses in Proverbs, probably paraphrasing or putting it in my own words when I say this, but, you know, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, one who was born for times of adversity.
Yes.
And so we have to have that brotherhood. We have to, you know, we're, what you're talking about in those times of doubt, we have to have somebody that close to us that we can go to. And Kanye didn't have that. And nor did anybody seek him out. And he didn't seek anybody out to help establish him in his faith. But we as believers, we as Christians, we have to have that brother or sister who we are that close to. If you're a guy, it better be another guy.
Yes.
If you're a girl, it better be another girl. You know,
unless you're married, in which case it can be your spouse.
Yes, it can be your spouse. And I think it should be your spouse. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, it should really come down to you need that person in your life that is so close to you and that you're so close to them that either one of you can go to each other at any time with anything on your heart and mind, whether that be doubt, grief, whether that be sin. And, you know, you two pray over it. You two get through it. You two develop a way, a scheme even to overcome those things. And I don't remember what the other thing was. I have one more thing, but that just came to the top of my head. It'll be all right though.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're good. I'm trying to think. I think there was one other thing that I was, that I really wanted to connect. Yeah. I don't want to, I mean, maybe like a challenge, maybe challenge isn't the right word, you know, but I think that's something that we should all inwardly think is who's the Kanye around you? Mm. You know, who is that person around you that is seeking, you know, maybe they've come and said they want to be a Christian or they say they are a Christian, you know, or, you know, they're shallow in their faith. They're just starting out. You know, but it seems like everyone's against them, not just the world, but Christians.
Right.
You know, who can you reach out to? You know, and I think that's something that we should, you know, have eyes for, you know, pray about having vision like that, you know, but seek it out. Who is there that needs to be comforted and who can I go and comfort?
Yeah. The last thing we want to do is last thing we want to do is turn somebody away. The last thing we want to do is let somebody fall to the wayside who is struggling and who really needs a true believer to come alongside them and say, hey, let's look at where you're at and let's see how you can grow. Let's see how you can develop. Let's see how the gospel can spread in you even more and create that good fruit.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's not the job of your pastor.
No.
You know, yes, your pastor does that in a formal role for sure to a whole congregation or to a, you know, a large group of people, but each and every single Christian is called to do ministry as well. We are all called to make disciples. We are all called to teach. You know, so that role doesn't just fall on the pastor. It falls on all of us.
Yeah. The pastor can't sit here and be the disciple for everybody in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, the pastor is, I said the disciple. I meant the mentor.
I think it still tracks.
Yeah. They can't sit here and disciple everybody in your life, right? They are the one who comes and disciples you because you are in their flock, right? They come and sometimes they may say the hard things, which they should. Sometimes they may be loving. Sometimes, you know, it's whatever the need calls for, right? But the pastor, they cater to those underneath them, right? You and I, Felipe and I, and you listening, we have our own responsibility for the people in our lives. And the question is, are we taking that responsibility serious?
Yeah.
And we should. And I fail a lot. Felipe fails a lot, and we know you guys fail a lot too. But it's something that God has grace for, and he works through us and in us to do better.
No, absolutely. I agree. I think the only other thing with Judges, the ending of Judges is, I would say, probably one of the most controversial parts of scripture in terms of what happens. Basically everything devolves to a point where there's almost genocide. Like, it's that crazy.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was talking about the story about Deborah staking that guy's head earlier. No, the story at the end of Judges is even more gruesome.
More graphic.
Way more graphic. So we remember the story of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Talked about that a little bit. And Lot almost gives up his, you know, daughters to the men in the city. And the same thing is happening with a man in, I don't remember what city it is, but anyway, the same thing is happening. The men of the city are coming to his house and basically trying to have sexual relations with some men that have arrived. And yeah.
You're getting it confused.
No, I'm not. I promise
it's,
you.
It's the Levite and his concubine.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
You have to establish the context first. So what ends up happening is they try to have sexual relations with the people of the city. Well, the guy ends up giving up his concubine, and some horrible things happen to her. You can go read about it. We're not going to touch on them. But some horrible things happen to her, and she dies on basically the front door, the front step of the man's house who owned her. And what ends up happening is he cuts her into pieces, 12 pieces to be exact. And he sends each piece to one of the tribes of Israel.
This is like psychopath level stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And that ends up being like the final judgment on all Israel because of this sin. And then basically all war breaks out and Benjamin is like the most hated tribe.
Because it was men from the Benjamin. It was the city of Benjamin. Yeah, the tribe of Benjamin is almost completely wiped out.
Exactly. And you really don't hear anything about them ever again until you get to the New Testament.
Yeah.
Well, you get to Saul, who's from the tribe of Benjamin.
Yeah.
And he's the first king, which that opens up a whole another controversial ordeal. Because,
and then you get to Saul, who was also called Paul.
Yeah. And then you get to the second Saul. Yeah. But no, and that's another controversial thing about Judges is the whole reasoning behind the book of Judges, right? One, it's a history book. But the second thing is everything leads up to 1 Samuel.
Yes.
And what happens in 1 Samuel is we'll cut past Samuel being born, right, to Saul and him becoming king. Well, if you go back into the books of the law, God had established laws for there to be a king, but God had also made it a point that he would be king over them forever. As long as they would trust and follow him, he would be their king.
Yes.
But that didn't end up happening. And so they said, hey, we want to be like the people around us because we're already so influenced by them. We want a king. And they went to Samuel with that. And they're like, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else and have a ruler. And Samuel's like, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally what he's like. And even like, it comes to a point where he's like, you realize that he's going to own you.
Yeah.
You know, you realize that he's like, you're gonna have to pay taxes.
And he's going to take essentially your people.
Yeah. And he's going to take your people. He's going to take your men to go fight your wars.
And what does that sound like today? Sounds exactly like the United States of America. You know, we've got this basically ruler, if you want to call him a president, and we've got a whole office of people and they lord over us. I'm not trying to start like some kind of treason here. I'm not advocating for anarchy or anything. I'm not advocating for us to go storm the White House, right? But no, just think about it. Israel wants a king because they want to be like everybody else. That king was going to rule with a heavy hand over them. Take their people, take their animals and their livestock and their grain as taxes and as payment to him, right? He's going to take anybody he wants, and he's going to take the men to be in his army so that he can go and invade. That sounds exactly like any secular government.
Because it is. You know, and I don't know why we're talking about Revelation 2 weeks in a row, you know, but that's the beauty of Jesus coming and ruling, of God reigning on this earth, you know, new heaven, new earth. Obviously, right. I guess there's like debate on the millennium and all of that, you know, but we know at the end, obviously God's going to reign. You know, that's the beauty of it, is that he's our king. You know, we don't have, you know, people as kings anymore. He is our king.
Yeah, he is the one true king. And, you know, that's kind of the main connection between this album, Jesus is King, and the book of Judges is that, you know, in Jesus is King, the album, we see that, you know, he's not really Kanye's king. In the book of Judges, we see that the people are so obsessed with the secular society around them that Jesus isn't their king, that God isn't their king. I mean, Jesus was there, the Son of God at that mm-hmm. time, but he hadn't incarnated into Jesus yet. But God stopped being their king. Mm-hmm. They went to other idols. And so they eventually came and they wanted a human king, and God gave that to them. And so, you know, whether we follow idols, whether we reject God, whatever we do, Jesus is king.
Yes.
You can acknowledge that or not. Jesus is king, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, whether Felipe likes it or not. Jesus is king. Mm-hmm. He rules over everything. And he rules with 100% authority. He can do what he wants when he wants. And he's going to come back in judgment. And his judgment is going to be worse than the things that you see in the book of Judges.
Yeah, and I think that's a beautiful opening to this season. You know, Jesus is king. That's a controversial statement right there.
Yeah.
You know, you say that and a lot of people are going to immediately get upset, you know, and we're going to get there. We're going to talk about this. I feel like, you know, that idea of the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty of Jesus, you know, we're going to get to that through this whole season. You know, we're going to start with Jesus as king and we're going to end, you know, I don't know. Should we let them know how we're going to end? I mean, we started, you know, Jesus is king, but, and this is the question, is he your king?
Is he your king? Is he my king?
You know, he's king and he rules and he reigns, but is he your physical king? Are you a citizen of his kingdom?
Yeah. And that's where we're starting, you know, Jesus is king. We finished that. And that's where we're going. Jesus my king? Is Jesus your king? And, you know, in a sense, we've already talked about it. He is, because he mm-hmm. rules over you, sovereign.
Yeah.
And in a sense, he's not, because you're not part of his kingdom. If you're not a Christian.
Yeah. And this is just kind of opening the conversation. We're going to talk a lot more in detail next week. But again, this overarching question we're going to have throughout the season, you know, when do you separate an artist from their music?
Right.
You know, I think fairly often you should separate an artist from their music. You know, you shouldn't let who they are affect their music. You know, I think they're separate. And a beautiful example of that in scripture is look at Solomon.
Right.
Do we discount the words of wisdom of Solomon because at the end of his life, he turned away from God?
Yeah, it's a hard question to ask.
I mean, if at that time he was, you know, but at the end of his life, he had turned away and he had walked away, yet we still have scripture by him, you know? So I think that's an interesting point to bring up. Now, in the case of Kanye West, in case of this album, no, you know, I don't think it's worth it to listen to at all,
right. You
know, but what we're going to look at next week, I think, is the other side of the coin. You know, we're going to look at an artist where I'm going to be honest. I think they have some good music and they have some pretty solid music. And I don't really think there's going to be an issue, you know, even though they've come out and said that they're no longer Christian.
Right.
You know, and that's where we start. You know, we're going to start with this idea of apostasy. You know, that's where we'll dive a lot more deeper next week about apostasy, what that means and all of that.
Yeah. You know, heavy subject.
It is a very heavy subject. And where we're going to end with the whole conversation is, what about a secular artist? We're going to look at two secular artists at the very end that, like,
yeah,
they're secular, but I mean,
they might have one or two songs.
They might actually
that are,
have a good things that you could listen to.
Right. And I'll say this. You got to be careful when it comes to secular music. I listen to secular music quite often. But recently, I just don't, because it's like, does it glorify and honor God? Right. And does this artist glorify and honor God? And some of them, it's like in the middle. And it's like, well,
sometimes it's amoral. Sometimes it's not good. It's not bad.
Sometimes, exactly. Sometimes it's like, okay, this artist or this song clearly doesn't. And so we steer away from that. Mm-hmm. And you just have to be very careful about who you're listening to. And we've said it once before, three times before, maybe four, but Kanye, stay away from him. Stay away from his music. Especially if you're a believer, honestly, if you're in one of the worst things is, and all genres, all secular genres are like this, but man, I cannot stand like the cussing in it. I can't stand the worldly wisdom. I can't stand how it's all about me. I can't stand how entrenched in sin modern secular music is. with just the words and the innuendos and the morals and the stories and the overall themes that are projected in them. That's what I can't stand. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, the older music I listen to doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But
no, I mean, it's always existed.
It's always existed. Sometimes I think it's more subtle back then than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And, but man, it's just so heavy. And I think it's just a reflection of the times that we're in. And I think music has always been a reflection of the times that we're in.
Yeah. And I mean, the world's going to act like the world. I mean, a lost person is going to act like, guess what? A lost person. Because that's who they are. You know, we should remember that and keep that in mind. You know, what I find myself, because I listen to a lot of secular music too, you know, what I find is that I always need to like cleanse my palate.
Right.
Like I almost like to like drink a glass of water, but in my ears.
Yeah.
You know, so that's when I go back to like, you know, Forrest Frank.
Right.
You know, I'm like, yeah, it's like I need something like refreshing. So let me put this on. I had to do that while listening to some of this music by Kanye before, right. You know, today. I was like, I can't keep listening to this. I need to find something else to listen to that like soothes my ears. Cause this isn't doing it.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of there's one song on there. I'm not going to say Worship God. Cause that's a song we did
a while back.
Do you have the album still pulled up?
I can pull it up,
but there's one song on there. It might be the actual title track, Jesus is King. But man, it is so catchy and I couldn't stop myself from like wanting to head bop to it and just wanting to really get into it. And that's one of the tricky things about an album like this and an artist like Kanye is it's hard to separate.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. There it is. I had When We Fire Up on Spotify. I was listening to that. I'm trying to think which one it is.
Just name them right quick and I'll be able to tell you.
It could be Follow God or it could be Hands On. What was that?
Hands On. What's the fourth one?
Closed on Sunday.
Oh, that's your favorite one?
I do like Closed on Sunday.
Just go down from there.
On God, Everything We Need, Water, God Is, Hands On, Use This Gospel, Jesus Is Lord.
I think it's Everything We Need and God Is are the two that I just wanted to bop to.
Yeah. Everything We Need is pretty bop worthy. I'm not going to lie. That one is for sure.
But he makes good... The thing is, he makes good beats.
And that's something I wanted to kind of go into with this is... Kanye is great at what he does and the fact that he is an artist and he makes and produces music and right. He does a good job in that. You know, he's talented. Like I'm not going to say he's not talented, you know, for you to get to the point where he is, you have to be talented.
Right.
You know, and that's what was missing for me in these Christian in this Christian album and in the other Christian songs he's done. You know, I was like, it's like, yeah, you know how to make music and like, you know how to do all this, but it's like, you're like almost there. You know, it's like, we're like Christian adjacent.
Yeah.
Like I'm like this is like Catholic. Catholic. You get the comparison? Like, you know, we have like Catholicism versus Protestantism, and then we have like Kanye's Christian music and then like actual Christian music. Like you see what I mean? Like it's like we're almost there, but it's like slightly off. And I think it's just that he's good at making music, but he just didn't have that, you know, theology yet.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's funny that you're talking about Catholic because we'll be talking about somebody who is Catholic later in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the difference between, and I'm not going to bring up the person I want to bring up, but I'll bring up this guy instead because we'll be talking about him. Timothy Brindle.
Mm.
It's the difference between Timothy Brindle and the rap that he does and Kanye.
Yes. There you go. Thank you.
Just go listen to Timothy Brindle. You can find them on Apple Music and Spotify. And it's so theologically deep. And then understand where Kanye was at, but mm-hmm. then go listen to, you know, Jesus is King and the Donda album because he would claim that Donda is
Christian adjacent.
Christian.
It's a lot.
As well.
I would say it's a lot less Christian than Jesus is King, but there are some Christian songs on there. No, that album I would steer very clear from. There's some very very iffy theological stuff. Like there's this one line where he's like, God is in all of us.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, that's Shinto. That's not Christianity. And then the other one where he talks about, what was it? Something about the devil.
The devil is a lie.
That's right. He says the devil is a lie. And I'm like,
the devil is a lie.
I'm like, what am I listening to? Yeah. I just had to turn it off. I was like, I'm over this. I'm not listening to this anymore. I hate to do this comparison, but I feel like it's going to happen every week this season. listen to the Kanye's Jesus is King and then compare it to Forrest Frank.
Oh yeah. Or Forrest Child Frank's album is also good.
Because there's a clear difference right there. You can definitely tell a difference between those two albums.
Yeah. What I think there is a clash of personalities with Jesus King, because you're having somebody who's wanting to try and make Christian sounding music, and he's coming from a secular background. Mm-hmm. But I think we've been at it for about an hour.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've hit just about everything I think we wanted to hit with Judges and with Kanye.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great opening of the conversation, a conversation that we're obviously going to continue next week about apostasy and all that.
Yeah. Any last thoughts?
No, I think we're good. Other than follow us on Instagram, subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, or wherever you are listening to this from.
Yeah. Some of y'all, hey, look, one last thing. Some of y'all, we know what y'all listen on. Firefox, Google Chrome. Oh, yeah. We're able to keep up with all of that. So wherever you listen, whether it's through, you know, a website, third party, you know, we see all of that.
Yeah. But don't pirate us.
Please don't pirate us.
It's out there for free.
Yeah. We do all of this with equipment that has already been provided for. We're just two dudes, you know.
In a room.
In a large room, I guess.
An upper room.
Yeah. But it's been, I'm surprised we've made it to season 3, honestly.
Yeah.
In some ways good. I wouldn't say in any ways bad, you know. But we've still got so much more to go, and we barely touched the tip of the iceberg.
There's so much more to talk about.
Yeah. Not only with songs, but with books of the Bible as well. Mm-hmm. You know, just looking back, you know, over season 1, we did deep dives into each of the books that we talked about.
Yes.
We did deep dives into the songs and their structure. Same with, you know, books of the Bible. And then last season, we kind of slowed down a little bit, just a general overviews of the books. And then we connected them more with the songs that we talked about. And then this season, you know, as you can see,
All the stops are off.
We don't really have any notes. I think Felipe has a few things written down.
No, this is my notes right here. Just like 5 bullet points.
Yeah. So it's going to be, you know, a lot more of this chill, at least atmosphere. We're going into it very broad, you know. I mean, as you can see, we'll probably have like scripture references here and there, but
we're not going to jump super deep into the books. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's a lot more artists that we're looking at, lot more like albums. You know, there'll be a brief period where we look at a couple specific songs.
Right.
But for the most part, it's just going to be some overviews.
Yeah. Overviews of mostly, yeah, like you said, artists and albums. And then as far as like the books of the Bible go, we're just really going to be, you know, talking about why they're controversial.
Yeah.
And whether, you know, people believe they should be in the Bible or not, you know, but it's going to be a great season. So just look out for more episodes to come.
Yep. And with that, we'll see you guys next week.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the Upper Room Discourse. Join us next week for more discussions in the Upper Room.